how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Are we ready? Hey, how you doing? This is Roach Brown coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl in downtown Washington, D.C. In fact, we're on U Street, which used to be called Black Broadway. It was theaters all up and down this street, and the Chili Bowl has been here for over 60 years. And I'm telling you, folks, this is some history in this particular building. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. This is our second hour of our two-hour show that we do on the first Tuesday of each month, coming to you live. First of all, we start off with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Hey, how Trump is trying to expand the already colossal U.S. prison system. The administration's efforts from mass deportation to harsher punishment for some crimes rely on access to more prisons and jails. During his first month in office, President Donald Trump has made moves to expand the United States' already gargantuan, out-of-control prison system. The Trump administration's goals from mass deportation to harsher punishments for some crimes are reliant on the federal government having access to more prisons and jail cells. Without that infrastructure, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to enact his promises on immigration and crime and punishment. During his presidential campaign, Trump vowed to deport a historic number of people. And while Trump's focus so far has been on undocumented immigrants, his criminalization efforts extend to U.S. citizens too. Attorney General Pam Bondi has issued memos that could encourage federal prosecutors to seek harsher sentences in many circumstances. Detaining and incarcerating more people necessitates more places to put them, and the administration is already hitting limits. Last week, space inside Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention facilities reached 109% over capacity, and the agency was forced to release some people. Oh boy. And that's been what we call, wait a minute, it's another one. New York Correction Officers Union and the state reached a deal to end the prison strike. There's been a strike in New York prison system. The agreement includes suspending parts of the HALT Act for 90 days and safeguarding against excessive mandatory overtimes. The State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision in New York and the Police Benevolent Association reached an agreement to end an illegal 11-day correction officer strike. For the past 12 days, the correction officers in 30 facilities in upstate New York have been on strike, and the guards are complaining about overtime, staffing, and safety, and that kind of stuff. And this strike is impacting the inmates and you as family members, because if there's no guards, you can't visit. If you're short of staff, you can't go to school, you can't participate in day-to-day activities, you're just locked in your cell constantly. So this is a public safety issue. And by calling in the National Guards to help control and feed and run the institutions while the guards are walking up down the street, the governor of New York warned striking correction officers to get back to work or face termination in last-ditch attempt to stop this wildcat action. New York state officials warned prison guards who were still participating in an ongoing wildcat strike Sunday to get back on the job or prepare to be out of one in an apparent last-ditch effort to end the illegal work stoppage in New York state. So that has been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the grapevine. unfortunately, we run into these kind of situations where sometimes we have a guest scheduled and they can't make it for whatever reason. So our second guest called and said they won't be able to make it. They're dealing with a situation. So what we have to do is to make a show up. So what we have to open up the phones a little later, that you call in with a question or a comment about what we're talking about. And what we were talking about earlier was about the drug overdose in the city, but I'd like for you to call in and talk about what your take on what's happening with President Trump and the impact it's going to have on our community in terms of cutting the SNAP program, cutting back Medicare, Medicaid, increasing the death penalty, increasing sentences, make it more harsher and longer for people coming out of institutions or like people inside institutions. Folk, we're in a crisis within a crisis within a crisis, and then we just hit a tornado, and now we got a tsunami coming. Folk, you wonder, how much more can we take? And we have to do whatever we have to do to make it work. And so I want to thank you for tuning in. I just see a guest come in, because I said it before. This is one of them times when our guest does not we run into a situation. We've been here for 17 years, and only three times have a guest not appeared. So this morning, we're running into a situation where our guest called and said he couldn't make it. So what we're doing is we're entertaining ourselves with each other. So we open up the phones and let you call in with question or comment. And we got a special guest that just came in. No, I want you to come over here. Come on over here, Mayuki. She's from the station. And Mayuki, can you come over and say a few words, Mayuki? When she's the program director, station general manager at the WPFP, interim. To me, you're permanent. I don't play that interim stuff.
We got to do that.
Good morning, Mayuki Williams. How you doing?
I'm fine. I came to hear you and Dr. Chapman talk about the fentanyl.
Well, we talked about the fentanyl, and we had a gentleman, a powerful guest for the second half.
Oh, okay.
But he wasn't able to make it, so now we're in the process of making it up. And now you want to say hello to our listening audience.
I want to say hello to our listening audience. Thank you so much for being so supportive. During our last fun drive, people supported Roach and Crossroads, and we really, really appreciate that. And the Martine was all supporting Nikichi, and we want to thank you all so much for showing your outpouring of love for the show, for both Roach Martine as well as Nikichi, and the principles that they fight for, the justice that they seek, and the equity for all people that's always here on the show that they strive for. So we want to thank you for that. And I appreciate you having, I just came to say hello. I'm just saying hello to you and Martine and the audience. You go ahead and do your show. And people don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you.
She's our pitch partner. I'm telling you what, we've been here for 17 years. You and Cattell working hard. I haven't seen two people work as hard as you two, Mayuki. And I want to appreciate you for doing what you're doing, because you keep everybody on point. Let them know what's going on. And I want to say thank you to the people who donated through our last two fund drives, and especially to Brother Jerome, the blind gentleman. Every month he donates. And we got a guy I ran into 2 weeks ago who was doing 22 years inside of Baltimore State Prison. And would you believe, in the last 4 years before his release, he sent us $20 every 6 months. And he only made 18 cents an hour. And he sent us $20 to make sure we stay on the air.
Because he values what you do, because he appreciates all the work that you do. And he asks all our listeners to do the same.
Well, he did that because I told him if he didn't, I'll bust him in his head.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to open up the phone calls. We got somebody coming in that's going to help us, the cab on the show for this hour. If you want to call in with a question or comment, Martine and I are here, and he wants you to know. Martine and I are here, so you can call in for question or comment. The phones are open, 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. As we said at the beginning of the show, sometimes we get a guest who can't make it in, so our guest who was scheduled to come on is not available. So we have to do what's called open up the mic, let you call in and with a question or comment about some of the topics that we've been discussing through the weeks or the years here on the station, and or to come in. So the phone number to call is 202-588-0893. My name is Roach Brown, and you can call in with a question or comment. We're going to talk about some things, because then tonight, Reverend Jay Barber and a host of civil rights activists and community organizations are getting together to put on a counter program in honor to oppose Donald Trump's speech tonight up on Capitol Hill in front of the Congress people. So if you don't want to participate in that particular event, you can call in this event for later tonight. Roland Martin, the famous black journalist, and Dr. Wayne Barber are holding a counter talk. So you can listen to them as opposed to listen to President Trump if you want to be participators. And we'll give you that information shortly, as soon as we can access it. So I want to thank you. On Tuesday, March 4th, we are going to present the State of Our Union. They're going to go live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 6 p.m. Central. And we go to midnight or 1 a.m. We break this into 30-minute blocks. We will have congressional Black caucus members, civil rights activists, voting rights advocates, labor leaders, business leaders, grassroots activists. We will not carry Donald Trump's speech. Instead, when Trump walks to the mic, we will go live to New Haven, Connecticut, where Reverend William J. Barber II will deliver our speech. My team will show clips of the twice impeached, criminally convicted felon in chief, and we'll discuss these matters after Barber is done. Spread the word to keep Trump's rating low. Do not watch any news network. I would love to have 100,000 plus watching us live at youtube.com/Roland Martin, Roland S. Martin, youtube.com/Roland S. Martin, or on the Black Star Network. And again, please help spread the word by sharing this with your network, family and friends and neighbors and classmates. We thank you. We see you tonight. And joining me right now is my beautiful wife. Come on, baby, and say a few words.
What I would like to say is a lot of what is going on, we grew up with the KKK. The Black folks who grew up here in America, this is not new to us, what's happening. What is new is the brazenness that they're doing on national TV in our face, but it's always been the punks putting white sheets over their heads and terrorizing our people, hanging our people, laying them on the racetrack, killing them. So we open with the call-in number is 502-588-0893. And we open for some suggestions, ways to deal with this. This is a time for us to be encouraged, to be strong, to stand tall. Those days of intimidation and fear, those are over.
You know, we've been working for years doing this. And one of the things that we do is we started a program called Offender Anonymous. It's similar to AA, where men and women who've been in institutions can come in fellowship and discuss their problems, and they all have the same background in terms of coming out of an institution. Our guest who was scheduled to come on this day, I was really looking forward to him. He's a doctor named Hope, and the brother is something I never heard of. He's a traumaologist, which means that he works with folks who are going through trauma, and we all have, and it's an 8-point trauma resilient wellness plan. How do you recognize the root causes of trauma? So we really wanted to get into this. In fact, he has a program this Saturday over in Baltimore. It's called the Trauma Resilience and Wellness Movement, empowering grassroots and healing trauma and building resilience. Time for healing trauma in our community. Our topic was time, action for healing trauma in our community. It's a powerful gathering of grassroots leaders, and you need to hear from them, featuring nationally recognized traumaologist, Dr. Damon Hope. And what is a traumaologist? He specializes in dealing with folks who've been traumatized. And believe me, folks, almost anything that you can think about will at least some kind of traumatic effect on you. And this brother is powerful, and I wanted to get him on so we could talk about before healing can begin, we must identify the sources of trauma that drives societal issues, poverty, abuse, systemic racism, broken families, and social neglect are deeply embedded wounds that demand acknowledgement. Trauma-informed education adverse childhood experience. A formerly incarcerated youth learned that his addiction and crime stemmed from early childhood neglect. Once identified, he could work on healing it. Too often, we react to trauma with punishment instead of healing. It's like the young kids that get arrested and locked up and we give them 10, 15, 20 years punishment. There's a root cause for that. When you go to the hospital and you got a cold, they want to find out, what were you doing outside? Do you have any clothes on, a coat on? How did you catch a cold? You try to figure out how you caught it. We just punish these kids for committing the crime. Sure, they broke the law. Punish them. But don't destroy them. Don't annihilate them. Don't kill their whole life. And we got a thing we wanted to hopefully have present this to you this morning. But Saturday in Baltimore, the Trauma Resilient Wellness Movement, it'll be taken care in Baltimore Saturday, March 8th from 1 to 2 p.m. The reception is from 2 to 4. Presentation and panel discussion and closing remarks hosted by the Real News Network and Rattling the Balls. It's a free event. First come, first served. The Real News Network. It's on Holiday Street in Baltimore. So please, folks, if you can make it, this guy is making waves all over the country. Dr. Damon Holt, he's a traumaologist, and we need this because all of us have been traumatized by your family, by corrections, by the system, by your mate or your spouse. You need to know how to deal with trauma, how to recognize it and deal with it, in particular for those men and women coming out of institutions. Folks, there's something going on that we can't sit and understand. There's men and women who did 10, 15, 20, 30 years in prison. They're dying within 18 months or 2 years after they be released. They're dying. You do 20 years in prison, come out in the street, and you're dying 18 months. That's part of the reason is because there's lack or poor health care treatment inside of institutions. And the Supreme Court ruled that the only people in society who have a constitutional right to free medical care are those people who are confined or incarcerated. So this law is being violated. Then when you come out, when I was released back in the day, you'd be released with three pair of socks, an extra pair of shoes, two pair of pants, 30 days worth of medication. Now men and women released without no medication, without no change of clothing, without any direction or assistance to go anywhere, and they're thrown into the street. And folk, this is a public safety issue, and it falls back on us. So the phone number to call is 202-588-0893. If our buddy Rick in Germany, we normally hear from you about this time, because I got a couple of questions I want to ask Rick. He's in Munich, Germany. He calls in every week. And we haven't had our co-host with us, Nikichi. She wasn't able to make it this morning. So this is one of these mornings that you just have Mertine and I and the telephone. We'll take our first caller. I bet that's Rick. Come on, take our first caller.
You know, you're on
air. Question or comment?
You know it's Rick.
Hello.
Calling
come
from
on,
Germany.
Rick. Come on.
Hello.
Go ahead. You got it.
I wanted to talk to the doctor last hour, but I couldn't get through. Have they closed the 2nd and D shelter since Trump has been in office? And
Not yet. Not
okay.
yet. The 2nd and D shelter is one of the largest shelters in the country.
Are they still doing the health care as part of that program?
They're doing it, but they're doing it slightly, man, not as deeply as intensely they did it at first. The shelter is still there. It's one of the largest shelters in the country. In fact, we rode by there a few weeks ago, and you got cars parked behind the shelter from Arizona, Texas, California. Folk are coming here from all over the country. They heard about the shelter at 2nd and D Street, Northwest of Washington, D.C., and how it's been operated and managed. So you got people who somehow got who've been misinformed that you can come to Washington, D.C., and you can get a free room and take in and food, etc. That's a misnomer. That's a misconception. The shelter's still there, and they're not doing as well as they can be doing or could be doing. And I want to ask you a question, Rick. You're in Munich. What's going on over there in terms of how are they treating us in jail and prisons over there? What's the population like for blacks in jail there over in Munich, Germany? Hello, Rick, you still there? Rick is gone. Okay, so our co-host, Nikichi, called in. She's been trying to call in. The phones have been tied up. The number to call is 202-588-0893. You can call in with a question or comment about what we did in the past, what we did this morning, or what you want to talk about. And we would do our level best to give you a straight reply on whatever it is you're asking. While we're waiting, I want to come on, Rick.
Nikichi.
Come on, Nikichi. Are you there, Nikichi Taifa?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Turn your volume up.
Well, okay. It's up. I'm driving. I'm in the car. But I am so sorry. This has been one of those days. That's all I can say. How are you and Martine doing this morning?
We're great. Glad to hear your voice.
Yes,
y'all in Chili Bowl, right?
Yes,
we're at the Chili Bowl, and we're having a half smoke on your behalf.
No, make it a turkey half smoke or veggie.
Yeah, that was good.
You want a veggie. So where are you at, Nikichi? Where are you?
So I was listening. I'm in D.C., but I'm driving. I was listening. I think Vic from Germany had called in, and then I kind of got cut off. So what y'all talking about? What's the topic of discussion? How
well,
can I weigh
the topic,
in?
The topic for discussion today was wellness, how to heal, and the trauma of trauma and healing in our community. And we have a guy who's scheduled to come on.
There's a lot of trauma. Yeah. He's got a whole lot of trauma up right now.
He's a traumaologist, and he was helpful. Yeah, he's a traumaologist, and we were hoping he would be here, but he called and said he couldn't make it. So Murda and I are just sitting there, open up the phones, and we just take whatever calls we get, because, like I said, every now and then we get a guest that can't make it for whatever reason, so we have to sit here. And I enjoy sitting here to see what we can do to come up with a show. And I want to, while we're waiting, I want to quote a poem. This is Black History Month. And here's a poem that I wrote in 1968 in Lawton. And it's called Two Hands Resting on Balls of Steel. Wondering, was all this really real? Living from day to day, using dope. Death was waiting with a steel rope. Living a life I thought was pretty cool. Moving in a hurry and breaking all the rules. Stepping on anyone who got in my way, never expecting any dues to pay. I was hooked quite early and dying quick, stand high and fly and pretty slick. The world passed by and I was in a deep nod to awake a young old man and find no God. Her eyes are moist, bursting from within, alone and crushed. Her man, he's in the pen. Patiently she tried and done all she could. It didn't work. I just wasn't any good. Getting out on people was my kind of fun. In a cold, lonely cell lies a foolish son. If only I had listened or even cared, my youth and dreams wouldn't die in here. Wine and reefers were a part of my song. Getting my kicks and doing wrong. It's a miracle how I managed to survive riding a pale white horse bent on suicide. Now I hurt in a way I've never longed. For the rest of my life, I'll be alone. Thank you. And that's called Reflecting. That was a poem I wrote in 68 in Lawton in solitary. And it's called Reflecting. Just looking back over the past of incarceration. As we said before, 7 out of every 10 black men, males, have a confrontation, a run-in, or a criminal record, or being stopped and frisked by the police. So prisons and corrections is an integral part of our culture and our community. And most of us, and the majority of us, have somebody in prison, or you get a phone call, or you send money orders, or you go visit somebody. So you can't look down on those who are down. They took Jesus. He was in the cell when he took him out. Paul and Peter, or Paul and Silas, they was in prison. The word prisons and jails is mentioned 103 times in the Bible. And it's a part of all our lives. So this show, Crossroads, try to bridge the gap of bringing people together to understand what's happening to us, why it's happening, and what we can do. And I want to send out a shout out to the OGs, the Optimistic Gentlemen. This is a group of elderly gentlemen who are meeting every week to see what they could do to come up with some solutions to make things safe in our street. Also here at the Chili Bowl, one of the owners, Kamal Ali, we meet every Tuesday here with a group called Let's All Get Involved. Folk from all over the city are getting involved, young, old, black, white, crippled, broke, it doesn't matter. This is our city, folk, and we can make it safe for those that are listening. Do we have any more calls on the line there, Khalil?
Is the teacher
still there?
Yeah, so I'm still here, Ro. So, you know, not only are you a phenomenal brother and a talk show host and a playwright, but you a poet, too. I mean, what is it that you don't do, my brother?
I'm not a billionaire yet, Nikichi.
Yeah, well, that's coming. I hear you. You're a billionaire in spirit.
I need a few million, Nikichi. I'm suffering from what they call broke-itis. You know what broke-itis is?
Talk to us. What's broke-itis?
Can you share some wisdom with our audience, please, for these trying times we're living in?
What'd you say, Martine? Say that again.
Share some of your wisdom. What should we be in? What should be our cornerstone? What should we be standing on?
So let me just say this, and I'm driving, you know, I got to keep my eyes, my mind focused. But, you know, the guest that you were going to have on talking about healing, that is so very important and so very key in these trying times that we find ourselves in right now. This is not the time to despair. This is not the time to throw up our hands or our arms in defeat. This is a time to double down. We have been through these times before in the past, and we have survived, and we have thrived, okay?
Yes.
You know, hey, I mean, you know, there were people who were killed just for trying to learn how to read, and now they're talking about banning books from schools and, you know, and all like that. But we have been here before, and so we really, really need to heal ourselves. We need to heal from within so that we can be ready for the fight. Hold on. I just need to.
You know, the guy we had said to come on, Dr. Holt.
He's out of Arizona.
He has a radio show. Okay. He has his own podcast. He's written 11 books. The brother's phenomenal. And what impressed us is that he reignites purpose and economic stability. Poverty and trauma fuse one another. Let me say that again. Poverty and trauma fuel one another. Healing requires equipping individuals with purpose, skills, and economic opportunities. And we know that's the cause of the bottom line of what we're talking about in terms of being able to deal with folks. Because everybody come out of prison has been traumatized. If you break out in a relationship, you're being traumatized. If one of the family members, wife or the husband, leaves the house, the kids are traumatized. And why is it? We can recognize that all the veterans that come back from the wars or overseas, they get PTSD services. They realize that they've been traumatized and they need assistance. Yeah. And they go for 18 months or 2 years. What about these men and women that do 20, 30, 40, 50 years in prison? They've been traumatized, but there's no services. There's no mental health counseling. There's no assistance. There's no emergency transitional housing. There's no mental health counseling. There's no stipend financial assistance for these men. He go, man, did 50 years and he goes see his parole officer. He did 50 years. He's 72 years old. And then parole officer asks, what's your plans for employment? He never had a job in his entire life. Who can hire a 70-year-old man who's been in prison for 50 years to work? To do what? So we have to look out for our own. And these are our folk, whether you don't like them or whether they should have done this.
Well, you named this. You coined a phrase for this phenomena, this traumatic phenomena that our brothers and sisters coming out of the joint are suffering for. What is it that you called it?
Offender Anonymous, OA.
No. I'm talking about the PISS one.
Yeah, post.
Post-incarcerated stress syndrome. PISS is for short. PISS, post-incarcerated stress syndrome. And that's the, and they call it PSTD when you come out of the military. We call it post-incarcerated stress syndrome. And the doctor who we had scheduled for the second hour was going to take this piece apart and explains the psychological and the mental problems that affects people when they go to prison and how it's compounds when you're released back into society with nothing. And we need these kind of services and insights to help our folks, because all day long, every day, somebody has been released from prison and they're walking. It's like releasing somebody, putting them in a boat, and they ain't got no oars, and they just put the boat and push it, and it's floating on the water. And wherever the water goes, the boat goes. So we need to put some oars and some boat or motor and some direction in making sure that these people can get the proper care and attention that they need.
But you know what? Our ancestors suffered more.
Yeah.
What you saying, Nikichi?
No, I was just saying to make sure that that boat does not sink. You need the oars, but also need to make sure it don't sink. Yeah.
Right. And then our ancestors had less than that to even deal with. So we are definitely, we are a strong people. We can withstand things. And like you say, this is the time for us to stand tall, to be encouraged, to be strong, go after your dreams, whatever you can do to make things better, what you see, it's time to do that. We don't have any time to sit around and look for, you are the help that we need.
Let me ask you this, Nikichi, from your point of view, what have you seen President Trump, I mean, do that's impacting the criminal justice system and the folk that we serve? From your point of view, what have you seen President Trump do with his executive orders, the impact
or effect it had? Well, so far, I haven't seen anything except him letting out those January 6th insurrectionists back out there on the street to terrorize and traumatize us further. But I will say this. Okay, I will give him this. I will say this. There is one appointment that he made, one, only one,
right,
that I can identify that I am in favor of, only one, and that one was the naming of our dear sister, Alice Marie Johnson, as what he calls the pardon czar. We don't know what that means, though, but we do know that Alice Marie Johnson, being a formerly incarcerated person,
right,
and someone who knows what it's been like on the inside, who was there with many, many sisters on the inside. We know that she will do the right thing. So that's the only one that I can, you know. So I will say this. If anybody knows anybody out there who's in the federal system, not state, don't say Mumia Abu-Jamal or H. Rep Brown, they're in the state system, who's in the federal system that is deserving of clemency, you know, we need to talk to Alice Marie Johnson, because that's her J-O-B right now in this administration.
You know, we talked about her earlier in the show, Nikichi, and she made a quote that they had in the paper that they said that since the majority of the Black community are non-supportive of President Trump, but how does she feel for working with him? And she said, let me tell you something. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm looking straight ahead into those women and people who she left inside who need help. And our population, everybody got their lane. This is her lane, and she's staying in it. And when she made that kind of statement, I said, "Wow!" And she is,
I think,
one of the right. She's good to be in that position. I'm glad we got a returning citizen. She did over 20 years in prison. Now she's working in the special office with the president, and she communicates with him personally. So this, I'm thinking, Nikichi, that the drug czar, the pardon czar, does not have to deal with the pardon attorney. Think that she said that she goes directly to the president and give him a list of names, and he does it.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Let me just backtrack on that for a moment, because the current pardon attorney, Liz Oya, is a dear friend of the movement and has been responsible for those who did get out under the Biden administration. She played a huge part in that. So she is a friend too. So it's good to have two friends, two allies in these high offices, and hopefully that they, you know, will in fact, you know, work together. Now I will say, you know, Rosa Martin, out there on the plantation, you know, there were all kinds of Black folk, okay? And, you know, we talked about the house, Malcolm talked about the house slave and the field slave and all like that, and all that was true. But sometimes we need a folk who are up there in that big house to give us information that we might not have had otherwise. Sometimes we need a folk in that big house to slip some of that poison up there in the porridge and in the stew. I mean, I'm just saying, so I'm not saying this or that or the other, but I like to think about not the right, not the left. I'm looking straight ahead. That's what we need to do. We need to look at what's in the interest of our people.
You know, I agree with that. The thing is, we need to focus on what it is that we can do. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing or not doing. We need to focus on just what we can do. That's why we've been meeting with this group called Let's All Get Involved and Optimistic Gentlemen and Crew. Let's do what we can do and let the chips fall where they may. Because we can talk about this all day long and it can change nothing. Won't we get together and do our thing to improve our community and make the streets safe and save some lives? Yeah. Do we have any callers on the line, Khalil?
This is WPFW-FM, your station for jazz and justice, 89.3 Pacifica.
What you say? Come on, Tyler Blues, let them call in. Come on, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Good morning, Roach. This is Rick. You tried to ask me a question.
The question is, how are they treating... What's the population like over for brothers being locked up in Germany? How are they treating the people over in Germany, our kind? Are the majority in the prisons in Germany?
I'm so sick, man. I don't get out like I used to 20 years ago. I don't get out and about and around Germany like I did 20 years ago. But I can tell you this. Germany dodged a bullet. The CSU, CDU won the election, and the far-right party, Alternative for Deutschland, they came in a very close second. They're gaining power, but for the moment, they were blocked by the CSU, CDU party. So Germany, for the moment, has dodged a bullet in terms of racist conservatives taking power. I'm done, brother man.
Hey, let me ask this before you go. Are there any blacks in the legislature and the government over there that's making legislative decisions in Germany?
I can't speak on that, brother man.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Rick. We appreciate you, man. And stay safe. Stay safe. Yeah. We'll take our next caller. Question or comment, please. You're on the air. Next caller. You're on the air.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello, you're on the air.
My name is Larry Watson. How you doing?
Your name is Larry Watson?
Yes, sir.
How you get a name like that, man?
Oh, man, my daddy gave it to me.
Come on with it. What you want to say, Larry?
I want to know, how can we get together, say, this spring, maybe April? Everybody get together and go back down there to the mayor's office, right? I mean, really get 100 to 200 people go down there and really say something to them, man. Get them to come outside and address
them. That's a good idea.
We've been talking about that, Larry. You hit it right on the head. We need to do another rally on the steps of the district building. We met 2 weeks ago with the chairman, man, and I ain't heard nothing from him yet, man. I told him, please, don't waste our time. The chairman of the city council. I am tired of talking to these folks, man. And they just tell you we'll get back with you next week or 2 weeks. And I turn around and go in the neighborhood and somebody done died because we couldn't deliver services. So you're right, Larry. We need to get together, all of us, all the nonprofits, everybody. Because if she can give out, the mayor can give out $500 million to the businessmen for the arena.
Yeah.
And we don't get a dime, and people are dying, man. Ain't nobody dying down in the Capital One Arena. They're dying outside the arena. So why don't we get the money to help those folks to keep it from dying? That was a good suggestion, Larry. What else do you think we need to do, Larry Watson?
I listened to what Dr. Edwin Chapman was talking about.
Can you speak up a little louder?
If we can get Dr. Chapman, right, to get some of them people from up Howard University, them doctors he know, to come down with us, that'll give us a strong position.
Some more credibility. Yeah.
Right.
That's a good suggestion. He'll be with us, man. Anything that we do, Dr. Chapman said, just count him in. And that guy, I see him almost as much as I see my wife. No, I don't. You know what I mean? But I see him quite often.
Yeah.
So that's a good suggestion, Watson. So how do you proceed? We move. What's the first thing we need to do?
Well, the OGLs need to get together, you know, and strategize it.
Okay.
Sounds
good. We get together, you know, and find out who the players are. Nonprofits
working together.
Yeah.
So we're not, what do they say, not repeating each other. And we can just add to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right, Washington. I know I can count on you, man, because you're just like Dr. Chapman. Every time I go to one of the meetings, I see Larry Watson. He got his wheelchair, and I don't know how you make it, how you find a parking space, and you come through them, navigate them steps in them long halls. But you make every meet, man, that I go to and I see you. When I see people who've been doing this for 10, 20, 30 years, you ain't doing this because you want to get rich. You don't get rich doing this. You don't even get paid at all doing this. But your commitment and your passion is there. I want to thank you, Larry Watson. And when I grow up, I want to be just like you, Larry Watson, 89 years old.
I want to thank you and my team for the diligence. Y'all are diligent in trying to help, you know, our community. That's what it's all about. Y'all are two pillars of this community. Thank
well,
you.
Well, I don't want to be a pillar. I just want to be a blanket, man. I prefer being a blanket. Okay, thanks, Larry Watson. We'll take another caller. Our next caller, you on?
Okay.
Question or comment, please. Thank you, Larry Watson. You're on the air. Question or comment, please.
God. Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Come on with it.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for your program. It has helped this community so much for over the years. I also want to say that we as Blacks just have to dump the whole political party system and define what our policy is. The policy replaces the politics of personality. We definitely need to get away from this Democratic Party plantation. We don't need any more political representation in the political parties. We need our policy to define us, not politics, policy. That's all I have to say.
All right, that sounds good.
That's effective. Thank
Give
you.
Give us a blueprint so we can move forward toward that, down that line, up that line.
Next caller, question or comment, please. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Diane.
Hello, Shai. Can you turn your phone up?
Yes, I turned the radio off.
Okay.
Turn the radio down, right, so we can hear you.
Yes, you're on the air. Come on with it.
Yes, my name is Diane. I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, and I am thanking you, Roach, for all of your work, and Kichi Taifa for your work. And I have in my hand right now in Kichi's book, Reparations on Fire.
Yes.
And I would like to read briefly one sentence from this book that I agree with.
Okay.
Is the following. It says, on page 53, you wrote, the countervailing viewpoint was a more inclusive one, that a reparations package should be available to all Black people in the state. This is regarding California, but this, I believe, is for every state, for the entire United States.
Yes, it is.
Reparations package should be available to all Black people in each state, regardless of proof of lineage, including Caribbean and African people. And I happen to be a white person who is for this, and I view it as investing in my community because the Black community is part of my community.
That's right. Thank you. We need your support.
Well, thank you so very much for reading from my book. That brings smiles to my face. And I do believe in
see
that
you're
very, very strongly.
See that you're
powerful,
Nikichi.
So thank
see
you,
See how you're impacting
Mary.
People all over, Nikichi.
Thank
all you
right.
so
I
much.
I appreciate that. Yes.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad that
thank
you're
you.
To WPFWFM Pacifica Radio. Hey.
And that's exactly right, what she's saying, because it's been proven almost in every state across the country, and Black people build businesses, they build communities, here come a white person with the title lie. A white woman said a black man touched or said something to her. They come in, burn our communities down, kill our people, and nobody is paid. If Americans would just leave us alone, but they don't know how to do that because we're too great, we're too brilliant. So they go out of their way to chop down what we built up.
Do we have any more callers on, Khalil?
Right.
Khalil, we have any more callers? No, we don't. Well, come on.
Have a caller. We're ready for you.
We're ready for him. Come on, you're on the air. Question or comment, please. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Is it the Crossroads, Rose Brown, and Martine?
Yes.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
Okay, good afternoon. This is Sister Radisha Mason. And I called. I need to tell you about your engineer. He put me on hold, and then came back 5 minutes and hung up. Let me kind of call since this new hour began. I'm calling, and my question and comment, I thank God for Crossroads, and I do advertise Crossroads. Heard on WPFW 89.3 on your FM radio dial, Tuesdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. every first Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And my reason for calling in, Sister Martine and Rosia Brown, husband and wife, who God has joined together. I remember y'all saying that y'all wanted to buy properties. Can y'all come over to Southeast? This is Sister Radisha Mason from Alexandria, Virginia, and get those Geraldine apartment buildings. My prayer, Father God, is that y'all buy those four buildings and house returning citizens and people that are recovering drug addicts and people that are homeless. Instead of, I've lived there over there in Southeast from October the 25th of 2010 to current. I'm not ashamed of it. I came from Alexandria, Virginia, but I'm on my way back home to do the work that I'm called to do first and foremost. Charity begins at home and is shared abroad, whether in the church or the community, and the church has to work with the community. With God on our side, all things are possible. We need to get some entrepreneurs with some money, with some legal money, and get these grants and buy those buildings. That was my prayer to Roach Brown, you and your wife, and the men at your church or whoever God needs you to go to in the community as well. Y'all raise that money and buy those four buildings off of Wheeler Road Southeast. Shut them down, tear them down, and we build them up. And let God help y'all get the people off the street. And that's my vision. I have a passion for returning citizens because of my family. Personally, my brothers, several of them have been to prison. And because of me having been on the street, they're homeless temporarily. So that's what I called in. And my prayers that y'all buy those buildings over there.
Thank you.
Well, somebody else gets them. Look, they give them to everybody else. I've been in there a while. 3 to 4 owners, Sister Murchie, and
yeah.
I'm going to call you Pastor Roach Brown, and y'all from D.C., and I believe in my heart, and we're going to be praying that God wants us to go back to where we came from, even if you're living in PG, even if I was living in New York or North Carolina. I'll go back to Alexandria, Virginia. He's going to raise up millionaires. And this is what I'm supposed to say. Let me slow down. And we need to petition some of these football players and basketball players from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia get to support buying the properties in Washington, D.C., Alexandria, Virginia, and Prince George's County, Maryland. We can't wait on the government. We have to trust in God and let him give us a plan, write it down, and then performing with the white people from the church and in the community, from these entertainers and basketball players. Y'all pray for me, Sister Radisha Mason. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what you're saying is so right, because we got a lot of black folks, a lot of white folks with that unnecessary money. That's what we need, that unnecessary money. Step in and help our communities. We need centers. We need 24-hour centers for our youth. We need mentors, real mentors. Not pedophiles. We need people who love our communities, who got all that unnecessary money. Step it up.
You know that this is a show that we don't get paid for doing this. We've been doing this for 17 years. And it costs us money to do the show. We got to put gas in the car to drive up here and get something to eat, et cetera. So it costs us to do the show, but that ain't no cost that we're worried about. As long as we're able to relate, communicate, and share information and insights that hopefully would help us get together. And folk, Trump has did us a favor. The worst thing, the best thing ever happened to me was getting a life sentence. Sometime when you go through a rough situation, the sun always shines on the other side. And if you go through a traumatic situation or experience, hold on. You'd be surprised. Your number will be called up in the morning. So in spite of what Trump is doing, he's doing us a favor in that he's making us get together. If he can't get us together, who else can? Everybody is upset, angry, disappointed, etc. So let's take all that and use it collectively to see what we could do as a unit, as a group of people, to help each other. Because we ain't supposed to be living like this when they give out hundreds of millions and billions to people who are not even from this, and we can't get a dime. And they're talking about cutting welfare, food stamps, Social Security. Folk, things that you think they're pretty rough now, but when they get rough, we always seem to survive. We seem to thrive on pain and disappointment and frustration. That is the turning factor that can help us get this stuff together. So we need everybody who's listening. Please help. Please do what you can. Please help save some lives. Go ahead.
Another call?
No, I couldn't get a call, but I'm talking live. Can you hear me?
We hear you. Come on. Right ahead.
This is Vivian Mercer. Good morning, y'all.
Well, hello, Vivian Mercer.
Hey, y'all. Interesting show. I put some stuff in the chat. I wanted to know if you could talk more about the Morker program, and do they have the trauma center like you were talking about?
No, they do not.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to know. And is it only located in Washington, D.C.? Do they have Morker?
Well, the Morker, which stands for the Mayor's Office of Returning Citizens.
Okay.
I was the first director, and we started that office in 1994 under Marion Barry. Uh-huh. And as Marin's, under Marin's leadership, as a result of that, five other states now have saw the need to create an office of an executive office of the mayor, an office of returning citizens affairs that deal with the people incarcerated and those coming out. And they've been in business since 1994. And I like to say that the new director them is doing whatever they can do. But again, they don't have the resources, whatever. It's over 75,000 returning citizens in Washington, D.C. that we know of. And there's only 20 vouchers. I applied for a voucher 25 years ago, a housing voucher, and I'm still on the list 25 years ago. So 20 vouchers is nowhere near enough vouchers to allow somebody to get an apartment that the city would pay for. We only got 20 for 60 to 70,000 folk. People, we got people sleeping in the streets and buses and dumpsters. And you think the problem, the crime is out of control now. You wait another 6 to 9 months when all these other federal workers have been laid off and thrown in the street. The homelessness problem is going to take, you think it's a problem now. So we need to come together to organize, mobilize, strategize, and get these folks together. Thank you for calling in, Vivian Mercer. We need your support.
Thank you. Well, one more thing. So if someone is coming out now.
Okay, I got to go.
So the market program is saying that they won't help a returning citizen unless they are out. So if they don't have the resources, what will that person do?
That's just what we got to show. What would they do? They ain't going to do nothing. Get in the street and get back involved. I know guys who commit. We call it the prison side. Our time is up. I'm sorry we ain't got much enough time. This is time to leave out. Thank you for calling in, Vivian Mercer. And we'll be in touch. Yeah. Thank you for listening. And for folks who are listening, the first Tuesday of every month, we come live from Ben's Chili Bowl. You can come down and be an audience member while we do the show and ask your questions while in the audience. So this is Roach Brown and Mertine Brown coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl in New Street. Thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. We'll see you next Tuesday at the same time in the same station. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
close to 50 years, WPFW has amplified the voices, told the stories, and shared the history and culture of Black people throughout the diaspora. In short, we are Black history. Black is WPFW. Texting WPFWFM to 801-801 will help to protect this medium in the Black radical tradition so that we can continue to chronicle Black hope, sorrow, and resistance.
Diversity Fund is a grassroots grant source for change makers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for DC people of the global majority. The deadline for submissions is Friday, March 21st. Details and application information are available at www.diversityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Climate Friday host Reverend Lennox Yearwood Jr. is but one of the Black voices in climate and environmental justice that will be featured at this year's Taking Nature Black Conference, March 5th through the 8th. Presented by Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack, all one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
On Saturday, March 8th, beginning at midnight for 24 hours, WPFW presents One Heart, One Fight, One Sisterhood, visioning justice, freedom, peace, and security for the women of the world in commemoration of International Women's Day. The programming will center the voices of women and girls protecting their communities and resisting imperialism, racism, xenophobia, and homophobia across the globe. That's One Heart, One Fight, One Sisterhood, visioning justice, freedom, peace, and security for the women of the world. Saturday, March 8th, beginning at midnight. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, I am Von Martin, host of Caribbeana here on Saturdays, 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. on WPFW. For the 48 years I've been on WPFW Radio, I do feel so humbled with the response of you, our listening audience, with your wonderful reaction to our fundraising efforts. On behalf of the staff and management and the volunteers who continue to bring you excellent programming of jazz and jazz extensions with strong public affairs and relevant news, I say thank you. It is such a wonderful reality as we embrace this changing world to be kept abreast and in tune with what is so relevant to our lives and your awareness upkeep.